Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. And it is such a thrill to be with all of you with two very special guests. The special guests of special guests, my bride, Marianne Greco. Welcome, Marianne.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And Michael Amola, who is evangelist, vice president of our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, producer of the show, and does everything incredibly well. Michael Amola, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here.
Lent is here. Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. Why is Lent so important? Lent, very simply, is a foundation for the preparation for baptism and renewing a baptismal commitment. It is the very heart of the reason that we have Lent. The Second Vatican Council reemphasized the baptismal character of Lent, especially through the restoration of the catechumen and the Lenten rituals. So why is Lent so important, and why is baptism such an important part of it? Well, we look back to the development of this 40-day season that actually developed in the 4th century, and it was a combination of an ancient paschal fast, a two-day observant before Easter that was lengthened from 2 days to 40 days. The second is the catechumen process of preparation for baptism, an intense period of preparation for the sacraments of initiation. And the third was the order of penitence, which was modeled on the catechumen and sought a second conversion for those who had fallen back into serious sin after baptism. So when it's all said and done, Marianne, what it comes down to is Lent is about this restoration and, in a sense, a new beginning, that we move away from sin and we have that self-examination of conscience to basically say, where are we in our relationship with the Lord?
Right. I think it's very significant as well that it's 40 days, because in the Bible, 40 days signifies a significant amount of time. 40 years was like a generation. So when you hear the number 40, it means a time which will change. So a transformation, a time of being, you know, something will be different when you come out of Lent. And that's really our goal, to change ourselves, that we can rid ourselves of habits that lead us away from God and just embrace things that lead us to God in a closer relationship.
Michael, Lent is an exciting time for us because it is this preparation before we enter into that very holy Easter season, very holy week, the Triduum and so forth. Why is Lent so important to you personally?
Well, for me personally, it's a period of reflection. You know, we lead busy lives, and many times for me, I can look at my faith and take it more casually than maybe I should. And during the period of Lent, from Ash Wednesday, it's just a reminder. It's a time to kind of search my soul and be mindful of the relationship that I have with the Lord.
My brothers and sisters, we are on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're talking about the power of Lent. It starts with Ash Wednesday. Now, ashes are applied to our forehead in the sign of the cross as the words, "Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall be returned," or "Turn away from sin and be faithful for the gospel," is the other formula, calling about our conversion and holiness of being holy as Jesus is asking us to be holy. It symbolizes our mortality as well as our need for ongoing repentance. It's a reminder of how short life is and that we have to work on our redemption, that it will not be complete until we are raised from the dead in resurrection bodies. And the work of our redemption is the fact that Jesus has called us and is asking us to repent and is asking us to turn to him completely. Because as free will, we have a decision. Are we going to choose Jesus or are we choosing sin?
I like to take Ash Wednesday as a real beginning of our commitment, just on a real base, a simple basis. But when you get those ashes put on your forehead in the morning, how are you going to react the rest of the day? It's like, how much commitment am I going to leave those ashes just right there in the middle of my forehead, or am I going to try to cover them up with my bangs? But it's really, you know, starting my commitment towards God. How willing am I to put myself out there and dedicate myself to Christ from the very beginning? It's a very visual thing.
You know, Michael, one of the things for me, you know, all the years that I was working in corporate America, and I would make sure that I attended Mass very early in the morning and came to work with the ashes on, what a great sign of showing the fact that we really care about this important season and took the time to go to Mass and took the time to really renounce our sin by basically saying yes to Jesus by having these ashes on our forehead. So it's a great sign of evangelization for me. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it is. And in my particular case, I tend to more often go to evening Mass, but I know folks that as they're leaving the church, they're wiping the ashes off their forehead. And I don't do that. I think it is part of sharing with the people who are around you for the period of time that you're out and about, that you are part of the Catholic community. And I agree with you, Marianne, that the idea that you have something symbolic like that on you, and then what's the behavior that you're displaying during that period of time, I'm very mindful of.
My brothers and sisters, we're on Powered by the Spirit with Marianne Greco and Michael Mola, and we're talking about the power of Lent. And I'm just going to challenge you, you know, going to evening service is probably what most people feel like they have time to, but if you can go to early Mass and early service, or during the day, I mean, I remember one time going with my secretary, who's Catholic and doesn't go to church all that often, but we went to a noon Mass, and boy, it made a big difference with her. But it's a reminder of two things. Number one, of our own mortality, but it's also a witness to those around you that you are a follower of Jesus Christ and that you're entering into the season of examination and abstinence. And I just think it's really important. I don't know why, but I just have always, because so many people comment on it, mm-hmm. you know, or they look at you kind of funny, right. you know, and they yeah. go, what is that? You know, you got something on your,
right.
Is that something?
You have something on your forehead you might want to wipe off, yeah. I've been told.
Yeah. But no. I think for me, in reflection, if I'm leaving church and I'm wiping the ashes off my forehead, why am I doing that?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And what am I afraid to share? You know, I will say this, though. You know, I remember going to meetings and whatever and having people kind of look at you funny, but then most people figure it out what it is. But it's such a reminder because so many people then would come up to me and say, oh, yeah, I got to get to Mass, you know, and so mm-hmm. many people that you don't even realize are Catholics, you know, and they're coming to you and saying, oh, I've got to get to Mass.
I found that, too. They go, oh, Ash Wednesday, I have to go. So it's kind of a reminder to the rest of the community, but it is difficult sometimes to carry mm-hmm. that cross on your forehead.
Yeah. Nonverbal evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, amen. Ash Wednesday, of course, is the start of the season of Lent. And the season of Lent is a focus on three very distinct areas. It is about prayer, it is about fasting, and it's about almsgiving. And we're going to cover that as we go through this segment, the various segments of the show. But the most important thing about Lent, as we talked about in terms of renewal of our baptism and preparation for that renewal of our baptism at Easter, is the whole concept of this new beginning, this new conversion. Reconciliation becomes such a critical part of the season, self-examination of conscience. My brothers and sisters, as we approach Lent just know this, that God is calling you home to him, to his heart, to his sacred heart. He's calling you home in the sense of saying, come back to me. Though you've wandered in the desert, though you have stumbled and fell, come back to me, for I am here with such a loving heart. I am here and basically saying to you, come to me and trust me.
I like to think God never really leaves us. We turn our back on him, but at the same time, he's not far from us. He's just right there. We just have to turn around and face him again. And there's nothing that we can do that will send God away from us. He's always right there. We just have to turn towards him. So this is the time to make that turn towards him and start looking at him. But he's always there. We can never stop God's love for us. It's always there for us.
We're going to come right back to learn more about the three parts of Lent. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit.
Everybody, it is Lent again, and that means it's Fish Fridays at Wahoo's Fish Taco with the co-founder, Wing Lam. Wing, what do you have for us this year?
A $9.99 special, get a couple of fish tacos and a nice glass of wine.
And that's every Friday during Lent?
Yes, every Friday at all our locations.
And there's great food all the other times as well. It's Wahoo's Fish Tacos, everybody. 60 locations all over the country. Stop by for Fish Friday during this Lent. For all the information, go to OCCatholic.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit here high atop the Tower of Hope on beautiful Christ Cathedral with Marianne Greco and Michael Mola. We've been talking about the power of Lent, Ash Wednesday, and how important Ash Wednesday is as preparation, as basically saying, I am repenting of my sins. I am going to really return totally to Jesus in terms of my actions, my attitudes, and I'm going to turn to him and trust him. Let's take a look at our Bibles now and turn to Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who are labor and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. My brothers and sisters, many of you are going through some horrific trials right now, and some of you are going through trials in which you've lost your jobs. Some of you have gone through trials in which you're separated from a spouse. Some of you are going through health trials or emotional trials or depression. This season of Lent is the season to turn to God and say, I trust in you. I repent of moving away from you, and I want you in my heart. I surrender to you totally. My brothers and sisters, Lent is about prayer, and we're going to focus on what kind of prayer do we really have during Lent to really improve the impact of what Lent is all about. Marianne, prayer is this communication with God in which our heart is communicating to his heart. And it isn't so much about ritualistic prayers, even though some of that is fine and good and beneficial, but God wants our heart. And true prayer, is about connecting to the presence of God by letting him know how much we love him and being open to his love.
I see it as a real intimate communication. He wants to be our intimate with us. He wants us to bring everything to him. And as we live out each day and each moment of each day, that he's right there with us to bring him into our situation, and our conversation with him can be all day long. I think Lent is a time where I look and I say, oh, I'm not talking enough to God. I'm not bringing him in. And so it's a new beginning for me. And every year I want to increase it. So the idea is not that this is just a time that I'm going to be doing it during Lent, but that I will increase my habits, that I will be conversing with God much more after Lent than I was when I first started.
My brothers and sisters, As we give time to the Lord during Lent in prayer, it needs to draw us closer to the Lord. We certainly need to pray to live out our baptismal promises to be priest, prophet, and king, to sacrifice and build up the church, to love intensely, and to share the gospel with those around us. We may also be praying for the elect who will be baptized at Easter and support their conversion journey by our prayer, to celebrate all those that are going to reconciliation so that they may come closer to God and again be renewed by their baptismal commitment. But prayer during Lent, I feel, is so critical to get closer to God. And one type of prayer is Stations of the Cross. And Michael, that's something that on Fridays on most churches, mm-hmm. they have Stations of the Cross at 12 noon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a beautiful thing and a beautiful prayer to get us closer to Christ and remind us of what he went through during his passion.
It is. In our church at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, we move around the church and we visit each Station of the Cross. And it's a time of reflection. I mean, I don't think that for me personally, I necessarily focus on what the Lord went through, you know, as he went through that period of time on Good Friday. And, you know, to be with other parishioners, and we're very blessed. I mean, we get a fairly good crowd that comes to Station of the Cross. And to be with those parishioners and to journey through the church and to reflect at each one of the stations and think about what the Lord was going through, what he went through for us and the sacrifice that he made for us. I think for me, and I do try to go to Stations of the Cross during Lent, and for me, it's that extra period of time to reflect.
Amen, amen.
You know, it calls to mind that, Steve, you and I have been to the Holy Land and been able to actually walk the Stations of the Cross and as a group and carry a cross. And you're in the middle of a very busy city, and people are conducting business and calling out and wanting you to buy this or that. And I think of how real that is, that we have so many distractions in life. Mm-hmm. And even Jesus on the way to Calvary has all these distractions of people conducting business around him and his procession to Calvary. And yet, you know, we need to stay focused on the Lord. So it's very visual that there's this distraction in our life, in life in general, and that we have to center in on the Lord.
And my brothers and sisters, if you've not tried a holy hour, try a holy 10 minutes.
Yeah.
A holy hour is something very important, but start and build up to it.
Yeah.
You know, if you can do 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, but it's being alone with the Lord. Find a place in your house, find some place outside, find a place with a beautiful view, whatever it might be. Sitting, you know, by a stream, a beach, whatever you feel good about, but be centered in the Lord and just let him love you. Open up your heart and let him know how much you care and love him, and just let him fill you with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I think that I know for me that many times I like sitting in my backyard and just looking at the surroundings. And I'm always reminded that this is all because of God. All of this exists. He made the world, and he made all of these things. And it's important for me to constantly, and I do mean constantly, reflect on, you know, the life that I'm leading, and I'm leading that because of the Lord. You know, when I leave my house in the morning and I'm driving down the street, just looking around and seeing the trees and the setting, being thankful for what God has put in my life.
We don't even have to have words when we take that. Start out with 10 minutes rather than the whole hour, but just to sit in the presence of God. And like you said, Michael, just maybe start reflecting of things around you. But, you know, I think we're always, oh, what am I going to say to God if I sit for 10 minutes in silence? It's uncomfortable. But as you do it, you begin to focus in and you feel the presence of God. So try it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Prayer is really the foundation of our faith. And my brothers and sisters, as you reflect upon this Lenten season, ask yourself, how often do you think about Jesus? It says in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we are to pray without ceasing. What does that really mean? What that really means is to be in the presence of God on an ongoing basis throughout the day. To be in his presence means that you're thinking about him. You're talking about him. He's top of mind to you. That's a big part of what prayer is all about. And during the Lenten season, it really is an opportunity for us to think of things differently as it relates to how am I communicating with God? How am I opening up my heart to feel closer to him? Instead of just doing the same thing in the same routine, bring him along with you. You know, we had some friends that would talk to Jesus as they were driving in the car, right? Mm-hmm. And thinking that Jesus was in the passenger seat. You know, and it's so true that Jesus is our best friend. And prayer is basically acknowledging that.
He's always with us, and I think we don't realize that. And so it's taking the time to acknowledge that he is right mm-hmm. in the seat beside us, and he is in everything we do. We just don't always include him in the conversation. So we need to acknowledge that he's there and put it. And if you start to do that, it changes your whole attitude and your whole way you approach things. Even doing the dishes or some task you don't care to do becomes greater because you're doing it with Christ right next mm-hmm. to you.
Yeah, that was a very powerful visual for me. And we may be talking about the same friend, but my friend Bill Gudelman recounted to me how he had a conversation with God, you know, when he was driving down the freeway, you know, and he was sitting right next to him. And I remember when he told me that story, I was thinking, wow, that really is the essence of prayer. He's having a conversation with God. And that was very impactful to me.
My brothers and sisters, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. And that's what Lent is all about, but it's also what being a Catholic is all about, what being a Christian is all about, is understanding that Jesus is alive, he's real, he's present, and he wants to really help you. So many times, Marianne, when we're feeling down or out or, you know, feeling like we're abandoned, that's the time more than ever to turn to Jesus because he never leaves us.
No, we're the ones that are not looking for him. And so we get distracted by life and things. And sometimes things that are difficult distract us from looking towards Jesus. But he's right there. And those are the times if we can start to train ourselves and use this Lenten time to start doing that, then perhaps it will become a habit that we can do every day of our lives.
Our brothers and sisters, we are on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about the power of Lent. We're going to get into the next segment talking about the power of fasting and what that is all about. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope on Empowered by the Spirit with Marianne Greco and Michael Amola. And we're talking again about the power of Lent. We've talked about the background of Lent, why it's so important, living out our baptism to be priest, prophet, and king, the critical nature of the three aspects of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We've covered prayer, getting closer to God in terms of communication, being in the presence of God, making him part of your life each and every day, each and every second. The second aspect after prayer of this Lenten season is fasting. Now, fasting is one of the most ancient practices linked to Lent. In fact, the Paschal feast predates Lent. The early church fasted intensely for 2 days before Easter vigil and later extended to become this 40-day period of fasting leading up to Easter. We are called by Vatican II to renew the observance of the pastoral fast, that we're called to make it sacred, to be celebrated everywhere on Good Friday, possibly again prolonged through Holy Saturday, and we're called obviously during the Fridays of Lent. But fasting is more than developing self-control. It's an aid to prayer. But one of the important things about fasting is understanding that it isn't about giving up chocolate or isn't about giving up one thing, but about changing our focus. Lent is a time for more than just ordinary fasting. It should be a joyous season of feasting, that we're called to fast from things that separate us from God, but we're called to increase our love of God and others by feasting on it. So, for example, we are to fast from judging others, but to feast on Christ dwelling within them, to see them as children of God. We are to fast from thoughts of illness, but to feast on the healing power of God. For example, one of the areas of fasting on that we could say is, I want to fast from anger, Michael. If we fast from anger, what would be the opposite of feasting on?
Forgiveness.
On forgiveness. And what does that mean for us?
Well, I think that one of the teachings that you have taught me is keeping forgiveness in my heart. We're human beings, and you know, we have to remember that we have to reach out to our brothers and sisters, and when things aren't going the way that we expect them to go, we have to be humble and we have to forgive other people, and that can be very hard. We've had past shows where we've talked about forgiveness and the difficulty of forgiveness. And I think that, during the Lenten season, if we can remember to hold that charity in our heart, it helps us to improve as human beings.
One of the areas that, again, we can fast from, again, this is different than just fasting from chocolate or giving up, a particular food or a drink or something like that, which I'm not saying isn't important. You can do that. But these other areas of fasting in terms of really impacting our life becomes very, very important to fast on that and to feast on something else. Another example would be to fast from discouragement, Marianne. If we fast from discouragement, what do we feast on?
We feast on hope. And I think, it's so important. How do I do that? If we start getting discouraged about something, and if we start dwelling on it and we have the habit of doing that, what we're called to do by feasting is to turn off that switch. When you catch yourself starting to get discouraged and giving it all this time, is start thinking about things that give you hope. What things am I blessed with? I might be discouraged that I have a really bad cold, but I'm really blessed that God has given me a home in which I can recuperate, mm-hmm. or he's given me a doctor that's helping me along. So, we need to cut off the discouragement and start, filling ourselves with positive things.
What are you grateful for?
What are you grateful for? Yes.
And that relates to another area to fast from, and that's complaining. And so many times we complain about our families, about job, about whatever it might be, mm-hmm. to fast from complaining. If we fast on complaining, what do we feast on, Michael?
Appreciating, appreciating what's in our lives. And, it's so easy to take things for granted. And, mm-hmm. I know that I certainly do. And yet, if you look at, I was driving here to the studio today and went by the Santa Ana Riverbed, and this homeless encampment that's out there.
Tent City.
And I just, it's a stark contrast to how most of us live here in Orange County. And as I looked at that, it was just a vivid reminder of what I need to be appreciative of.
And this relates to another area that we can fast from, and that is our focus on ourselves, our self-concern, our own issues and problems. If we fast from saying, I'm not going to really focus on me, my problems, but I'm going to feast on something else, what is that?
Well, it's saying rather than just focus on, oh, poor me, it's, you know, start thinking about how I can give to others, how I can help others. And it's such a life-changing thing. It's like get out of your shell and start seeing what gifts you have that you can help others with.
And it's so important because all around us, as Michael said, are homeless, are people struggling. Maybe someone that needs a word of encouragement, whatever it might be. The prophet Isaiah talked about fasting in Isaiah 58, verses 6 and 7. He said, "This rather is the fasting that I wish, releasing those bound unjustly, untying the thongs of the yoke, setting free the oppressed, breaking every yoke, sharing your bread with the hungry, sheltering the oppressed and the homeless, clothing the naked when you see them, and not turning your back on your own." That's, again, Isaiah 58, 6 and 7. Boy, what a listing, a personification of what Lent really should be, of all these different things, Michael, making a difference with the homeless, for example. You've been involved with that in terms of affordable housing. You know, to feast on making a difference for those that are really hurting because they don't have places to stay, to live. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's like Marianne said, it's using the God-given talents that we have and helping other people. And certainly it's one of the things in Lent that I think is so important to remember, is that we're called on to help others. And we have this opportunity specifically in Lent to really focus our thoughts and to think about, you know, how it is that we can use our talents and we can help other people, help our communities.
You know, so many times we have opportunities to make a difference, and Lent is a great time to apply ourselves to say, how can I help the homeless? How can I help the poor that don't have clothing or in the way that they need to, or food or drink or whatever it might be? What can I do to make a difference? Again, taking the focus away from our own issues, taking a focus away from our own problems, taking the focus away from being negative. If we are not negative, if we're not focusing on our problems, what can we focus on?
Well, we can certainly focus on things that are positive in our lives, ways we can help other people by praying. And, you know, for me, it's just the minute I start self-focusing, it's that negative train, and I need to stop myself the minute I see that and focus outwardly and focus, what can I do, or how can I help others? How can I focus on positive things through prayer or just being positive for other people? It's life-changing. If we could just get that whole attitude, like, don't spend time in the negative. Let's spend time thinking about how we can use our gifts, how we can be closer to God rather than being focused on ourselves.
And Michael, this is living out Philippians 4, your favorite verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. When we think about what's positive, when we think about putting God first and rejoicing and praising Him, that's when our attitude changes. And this whole Lenten season will be completely different, in which we get on new wineskin.
And that gives us the opportunity to kind of change a little of ourselves, mm-hmm. and how we look at life. I'm Italian and I'm stubborn and a bunch of different things like that. And, you know, just being able to reflect and focus in on myself and think about what is it that I can change that will make a positive difference in my life to other people.
And it's so important that we understand the fact that we are being called by God to make a difference in other people's lives. So when we're fasting, yes, think about maybe a food or something. That's fine. But fast emotionally against areas like anger and worry and complaining and being negative and bitter, and feast on areas of gratitude and forgiveness, to be positive, to be patient and thankful. Feast on recognizing and making new friends. Feast on prayer and being unified with God and his people. We're going to be right back to talk about the last tenet of Lent that we focus on, and that is the meaning of almsgiving. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Marianne Greco and Michael Mola. We've been talking about Lent and the power of Lent, the meaning of Lent, to really live out our baptism, to be priest, prophet, and king, to pray in a different way, to get closer to Christ, and through that prayer, reconciliation, in which we realize the need to have God at the center of everything that we do. When talking about fasting, certainly the typical fasting of giving things up, but more important than that, to fast away some of our worries and concerns, some of the areas that we just need to work on, such as being better or focusing on ourselves. But another area, one other area of fasting and feasting that I'd like to cover is something about gossip. And Michael, tell us about that, fasting against idle gossip.
Well, feasting on purposeful silence. And for me, this has been a significant learning in my life, that as in society, there's always a lot of gossip going on. And, you know, it kind of frankly drives me crazy. But what I realize is that as I'm in these conversations, I have the choice to make a comment or not make a comment. Mm-hmm. And what I find is that as I reflect internally in silence about a comment that maybe I'm going to make, I'm always asking myself, is this going to be a positive? Is this going to reflect better on somebody, or is this going to tear somebody down? And, you know, I just find that it has become very easy for me to understand that I don't have to comment and, you know, think more positively about the other person. And, you know, by being silent, you know, sometimes I'm accused of not being involved in the conversation, but I choose not to be involved in that conversation.
Very purposeful silence. And I can also see it, too, as it's a moment mm-hmm. that we can even stop if people are gossiping about mm-hmm. something, to really stop and pray, you mm-hmm. know, pray for that person or pray mm-hmm. for that situation. Instead of doing a negative of, oh, what good does that do? Like you
right.
said, I
mm-hmm.
love that. It's like, is this going to lead them closer to Christ mm-hmm. by saying this? Or is it, you know, but my prayer certainly will be helpful.
And it's so important, again, that we are encouragers.
Mm-hmm.
That,
mm-hmm.
you know, Scripture calls us to encourage one another and that we build one another up. And again, we focus on the positive things. You know, most people are very insecure, and they need encouragement. I mean, I do. We all do. We need to say, hey, guess what? Great job what you did in this radio show here, Marianne. Great job in terms of what you're doing.
And you're doing a great job,
oh,
too.
Oh, thank you. I needed that.
And Michael as well.
Oh, Michael's in a class by himself. The final point, again, that we're going to focus on after the prayer and fasting is almsgiving. Oh, don't turn it off. Don't turn it off. Almsgiving. All right. Why is almsgiving so important? Michael, why is it so important?
Well, I think that as we think about almsgiving, I mean, most people think about money, but we're called on in the Gospels, you know, to use our talents and to use the gifts that we have as well as the money that we have. And I think that having served on finance committees on churches for a number of years, we have the responsibility to support our parish and to be part of our parish and to be involved in our parish. And I know that many times in listening to priests and other people who might be talking about almsgiving, part of the message is give what you can, you know, but be involved. Be part of your faith community. And I'm not a biblical scholar, but I know in the Bible where it talks about, you know, a person giving the small amount, meager amount of money that they had, but they made the biggest sacrifice. And I think that that's part of what we're called upon to do, you know, as we're looking at almsgiving in support of our church.
Along with that, I really see almsgiving as giving of our time. You know, mm-hmm. It's a big sacrifice, and so often it's one of the more difficult things to do, is actually, instead of just thinking about a person, give them time, or give the Lord time.
Right.
You know, make that as a gift. We have gifts and talents that the Lord is calling us to give, as well as our money. But, boy, time is really valuable in our society. So, you know, think about how I can give my time to, rather than just do this, but to go out and help someone or to give them a phone call, encourage them.
So as we look again at time, talent, and treasure, which is what you're talking about, and stewardship, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Consider this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Just on that scripture alone, I've often prayed and do pray before I give whatever it is that God is calling me to give to whatever organization within the church to make a difference. And I remember one time in praying and the Lord said, I said, okay, I'd like to give this amount. The Lord said, is that the number of blessings that you want to get, or do you want to get more? You know, I said, I want to get more. I said, well, then think in this way. You know, no one outdoes God's generosity. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me. We budget God rather than basically saying to the Lord, I want what you want. You tell me what to do, and I trust in you. Each must do as already determined without sadness or compulsions. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. For God loves a cheerful giver, a cheerful giver.
That's important, cheerful giver. What does it take to get that?
In verse 10, the one who supplies seed, the sower, and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, you're being enriched in every way for all generosity, for through us produces thanksgiving to God. My brothers and sisters, I can't begin to tell you how important this is. In Galatians 5:22, it talks about in the New American Bible, the Catholic teaching is that generosity is the fruit of the Spirit. I have often felt that since generosity usually is the most difficult for people, it really is that they hold on to their money as like, well, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. The reality is, if God puts it in your heart, that's the key. If you pray and God puts it in your heart, He will find a way of making a difference. And I can give you story after story after story that on my personal experience in being generous, how God supplied just all kinds of things opened up in terms of jobs, in terms of finances, in terms of blessings, in terms of family. Whatever it might be, is that when you're a cheerful giver, it makes a huge difference. And people just need to understand that.
You know, for me, Steve, I think being a cheerful giver, what does that really mean? And it's like recognizing that God has blessed me, has loved me and blessed me with things or money or time. And He loves me that much that He's blessed me that I can't help but be cheerful and excited to be able to give it back to Him by giving of time, talent, or treasure. And it becomes, because I love God so much, I am a cheerful giver. I want to do that. It's not because I have to or I was told I should give so much, but it's because I love God and He's blessed me and How can I not want to spread that around?
In Catholic teaching, almsgiving is a sign of our care for those in need, an expression of our gratitude for all that God has given to us. It is a gratitude in which we're saying, Lord, I am so blessed that you have blessed me with work, that you have blessed me with a certain amount of finances, that you've blessed me with time, like you say, to give back of my time, that you have blessed me with so many gifts. Take a look, my brothers and sisters, at Matthew 25, the second parable, the parable of the talents. We talked about this the other day in a retreat that I was leading. And what did that guy do really wrong that buried the talent? Well, he didn't use his gifts, right? And the ones that had three talents that multiplied by three or added three, five talents added five, they used their gifts. If God has given you a certain amount of time, talent, and treasure, use that gifts to build the kingdom of God. It's been great having Michael, you on the show, and Marianne. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, and we ask for this Lent to be a Lent of miracles, a Lent of healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, a Lent in which we get closer to God through prayer, closer to God through fasting and almsgiving, that we totally say yes to you completely. We say this through the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, through the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I bless you with every spiritual blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We'll be with you next week at the same time. Have a holy, holy Lent. God bless you.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.